the name of God, Abba, Ima, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We receive a very powerful mystic vision in the Genesis text today. I invite you, if comfortable, to just close your eyes and we'll sort of review what's happening in this vision. Avram has said, I have no future. I'm without children, I'm without land. For what should I live? And God says, cut these animals in half. A heifer, she-goat, a ram, and a pigeon and a dove, and wait for me. At dusk, the vultures swoop down, and Avram drives them away. In the middle of the night, a trance falls upon him, and deep dread. And there comes passing through the animals a flame, a fire, a billowing smoke, like a censer passing back and forth. There's swinging. It departs, and in this deep dread, we know this is such a primal experience. And when the dawn finally arrives, Avram comes to, awakens to the day. When you are ready, you can open your eyes. This is an ancient covenant sealing process. How you sealed contracts. This is the way our ancestors did it back in the day. Splitting these animals, and then those making the deal would walk back and forth. In this case, it is a covenant. It is a one-way commitment from God to Avram, saying, if I should not fulfill the promise I've made you, if I should ever betray this promise, let it be to me like these animals. This is primal, isn't it? We almost fear to enter into this story. The bloodletting, the dread. What does this mean? Two weeks ago, we celebrated Transfiguration, and that painting in the corner is another mystic revelation interpretation of that profound moment, the blazing incandescence of Moses and Elijah joining Jesus in mystical conversation. I invite you to meditate on that for the rest of your life. I've been doing it for years. The the disciples pass out. Remember the story? They pass out. Dread, fear, awe. They can't take it in. The blinding light. And when they come to, they say, let's stay put. Let's build shelters here. Let's hunker down and never leave. And Jesus says, we're going to Jerusalem. And the disciples say, he's going to get us all killed. And there is dread. What is this guy about? And in our text today, Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. And he's greeted by Pharisees who say, first of all, get out of here. Herod's out to kill you. Are you crazy? And Jesus almost laughs. Almost, as he is mindful of the centuries of all the prophets which Jerusalem has slaughtered for more than 700 years. You who kill, stone, execute the prophets, the truth tellers who've been sent to you. And Jesus says, for me to die outside of Jerusalem? That is unthinkable. Have you met many people like this? Who in the face of death, where else should I die? This is the best place. To die anywhere else is unthinkable. It's okay if you stop breathing for 3 days. Take it in. Jesus longs to gather us in. Gather us in, as we sang in that hymn. Gather in the people. Come closer. Come closer to God, to life, to each other. Gather us in. He wants to fulfill that promise for the children, for the earth, for the longings of our heart. Gather us in. He is always, and to this day, gathering the people of Israel as well. That never stopped. The Christian church betrayed that vision and has accused Judaism of being the problem. That's a lie. Gather us in. All of us. Come closer. Let me fulfill the promise with you. And he comes speaking truth. In stories and parables, but also with his life. And he comes embodying that truth. Christianity is not a set of principles and philosophical concepts. It's about this embodiment within this person of truth who then is willing to engage that truth in confrontation with this world the way it wants to operate. That's what Jerusalem symbolizes. What's going on in Washington, D.C. is just normal, friends. It's that we've pulled off the layer to make it more obvious now. But never on his part without vengeance or violence or retribution. Never. And that confounds us. And this truth comes at the cost of his life. Truth is deadly. Huh? At the cost his life, and he is executed not between two candles on the altar, not between two luminaries on the mountaintop. He is executed between two revolutionaries. They weren't thieves. You don't get crucified for thievery. They're revolutionaries. And he dies in degradation, humiliation, and abandonment. it is a primal experience. The slaughter of truth. It can't get more raw. And yet there emerges this unconditional compassion. Unanticipated. It confounds us. We long for it so desperately, don't we? If we could all get along and heal and bless and create and renew life together, nothing more would please us, and simultaneously we resist and reject the resurrection. Because what's it going to ask of us? How much do we have to change if we are, as Paul prays today, molded into the pattern of Christ's death? Where is that going? This is primal. That's why the gospel is a scandal. Discipleship is a dance. We want to move in this direction of compassion, and no way. Please, we can't live that every day, can we? Maybe once every 7 years, we could be kind to somebody in a special way. That's about my limit. I don't know what yours is. Down deep, primal transformation is what we're being invited to. Ken showed me a lotus that he planted in an aquarium in the breezeway. Now, lotus are really cool, aren't they? They're in the mud, aren't they, of the ponds and the lakes in which they grow, those deep roots, but in the mud, and then they rise to the surface, and this most pristine flower emerges, brightness and beauty. You can never get enough of it. And this is the primary symbol of Buddhism, isn't it? From the mud to the pristine. That one works for us as well. From the mud and the muck of degradation to this radiant light which wants to illuminate us and infuse all things and wants to live in us, that we become practitioners of light. Wonderful. That's what that image on your bulletin cover is today. It's another version. Gaze on that all week long. The dark and the light woven together, a longing of wholeness, a sense of possibility. They all come together in this free, flowing love. I've shared this story before, but I'll repeat it because I love it. I was at the World Parliament of Religions gathering some years ago, and they had a whole shop area, and the Tibetans had a great one there too. And I found this and went to the counter to purchase it. It is the core mantra of Tibetan Buddhism. Om Mani Padme Hum. You just chant it all day long for weeks at an end. Om Mani Padme Hum. The Tibetan salesperson asked me if I knew what this was. And I said, yeah, I think it's the Om Mani, which means the jewel in the lotus. He said, you know, that's right, but do you know what it really means? I said, no. He said, it means be cool. I said, I like that. He said, would you like to have it blessed? I said, how would that happen? Well, he said, you see the monk sitting over in the corner there? He'll bless it for you. I said, really? But he's kind of surrounded by a number of people right now, and it looks like maybe I should come back at another time. And he said, nah, he's a compulsive blesser. You'll be done in no time. And that's the invitation of the gospel today. Out of the mud and the muck, into the brilliance of the light, the pristine, start blessing everything, friends. Just bless it all. Bless what there is for being. Bless your enemies, bless your loved ones, bless those who have no cause to be blessed. Just bless them, bless them, bless them. That's your Lenten assignment this year. Be cool. Bless everything. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding. Keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus.